call to order the Tuesday, July 24th, 2018 meeting of the Dairy Township Board Supervisors. If you would please be so kind as to rise and share the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Taking the roll call tonight. Yeah, I'm going to
hear some Zoom.
Zamuda.
Here.
Zamuda.
Ms. Ford.
Here.
Mr. Weir.
Here.
Mr. Engel.
Here.
Chairman Moyer.
Here.
Ian Quorum.
Thank you, sir. Well, as posted within the meeting room, I want to advise this person attending tonight's meeting that it is and has been the policy of the Township and area to tape record all public meetings for the purpose of providing accurate minutes. This time I'd like to turn the floor over to visitor and public comments. If you'd care to address the board supervisors, please approach the podium, state your name and your address, and if you would be so kind as to limit your remarks to 3 minutes or less, it would be greatly appreciated. Seeing none, the next item on the agenda will be the adoption of the minutes, in particular, the July 10th, 2018 public hearing minutes of the meeting that convened at 6 p.m. I'll entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Moved by Ms. Court. Second by Mr. Zamuda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
As opposed, and those minutes are approved unanimously. Next minutes are the July 10th, 2018 public hearing minutes of the hearing which commenced at 6:15 p.m. I'll make a motion to approve those minutes. Do I have a second?
Mm-hmm.
Moved by Mr. Weir. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and those minutes are approved unanimously. And turning to the July 10, 2018 regular meeting of the Board Supervisor minutes, I'll move to approve those minutes. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Engel. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and those minutes are approved unanimously. Turning next to the new business, A-165, the preliminary final development plan for Englewood Barn, plat number 1297.
Yes, the Englewood Barn project is part of the Hershey Center for Applied Research property off of Bullfrog Valley Road. The barn will be developed as a condominium tract within the H-Card development and will total 5 acres once the development gets underway. The H-Car property was first subject to land development in 2008 for construction of a medical research facility to the south of this project. As part of the current proposal, renovations and additions will be constructed to the existing barn structure, and that will house restaurant space containing 160 indoor seats and 226 outdoor seats. The restaurant facility will also contain 240-seat flex pool space, which will be used for live music venues or private events such as weddings or corporate meetings, and it could also be used for overflow seating from the restaurant space. It's anticipated at this time that about 6 to 8 events will be scheduled each month for the entertainment space proposed, and there's also a brewery slated for a future expansion area in the barn structure. Based on a traffic evaluation letter submitted by Traffic Planning and Design, the restaurant use will generate an additional 40 p.m. peak hour trips during the weekday and 63 additional peak hour trips during the midday on Saturdays. This does not meet the quantitative threshold for new trips that would require a full traffic impact study under the subdivision land development ordinance. However, a traffic study was submitted for the research building back in 2007. When the adjoining Ugrow development to the west of this property along the Research Boulevard was proposed in 2016, it was determined that an additional study was not warranted since the existing research building was never developed to full traffic projections, and then the second research building was never constructed on the site. As part of the approvals for the Ugrow expansion, the township authorized a memorandum of understanding, and that would require then Hershey Trust Company to monitor traffic counts and adjust signal timing on Bullfrog Valley Road and Research Boulevard once the Ugrow expansion is complete. The applicant for this project is requesting similar consideration for traffic counts to be performed once Ugrow and now this project are both completed, and then at that time, if those traffic counts determine signal timing will be adjusted for any higher traffic volumes. The associated plans for any adjustments that may be warranted will be submitted to PennDOT and also the township for approvals. Staff considers this request to be acceptable, especially since traffic planning and design is in the process of evaluating long-term traffic impacts and improvements in the area that will be associated with future phases for the overall West End development project. Between the restaurant and venue space, a total of 171 parking spaces will be required for the use. This includes anticipated parking for the future brewery. 134 of those spaces will be provided on the condominium site where the barn construction will be occurring. And then the remaining spaces will be provided in a shared parking facility adjoining the medical research property. With the medical research facility, there's 412 parking spaces that are available to be shared, and the shared parking matrix that was provided with the application demonstrates that only 390 spaces would be required at peak demand for both uses that would share that site. The applicant is also proposing to construct a pedestrian path that would connect from the shared parking lot to the north and connect with the barn project. To meet stormwater management requirements, a new stormwater facility is proposed to the southeast of the barn structure, and then the existing facility to the west of the parking lot and between the U-Grow building will be expanded to handle additional runoff. In addition to the two retention facilities being constructed, the applicant submitted a full flood study, and as a result of that study, we'll be constructing 450 deciduous trees, environmental trees, within the floodplain between the barn structure and Bullfrog Valley Road. And just to show those planning areas, the applicant provided an exhibit. Might be a little hard to see, actually easier to see on the screen than the computer, but the green shaded areas are where those tree plantings will occur, and that's generally to help with water control, rate runoff through the floodplains, as well as quality of the runoff. All utilities, including sewer and water, will connect to existing lines running under Research Boulevard, and then the connection will run to the south of the building and connect on the south facade. Sufficient capacity exists for both water and sewer services, and all comments from DTMA have been addressed. There were several waivers that were submitted from the subdivision land development ordinance, including the requirements for showing existing features and contours within 200 feet and 50 feet of the development tract boundaries. And this requirement, because it's only 5 acres of an overall 99-acre tract, there's sufficient features shown on the plan to demonstrate any impacts, and also final grading, of course, was shown for the project itself. The existing condition plans, they were submitted at a smaller scale, again, to further demonstrate existing conditions for the overall site, particularly how the shared parking would be utilized adjoining the research facility, as well as how utilities will connect to the barn structure. For that smaller scale, the applicant had to request a waiver for the existing conditions plan. Waivers were also requested from the requirements to provide profiles for existing utility lines. Since no modifications to the existing systems are proposed, they profiled only the laterals that will be constructed as part of this project. There was also a waiver from the stormwater management ordinance, and that was just regarding the design of the inlets that would be required by the ordinance. They required that change because of the elevation differences between the northern part of the property and the southern part of the property where the water will discharge. The engineer reviewed it, and both staff and the engineer recommended approval of that design change. And lastly, the Township Planning Commission provided a recommendation of approval for both the waivers as outlined in staff report and for the land development plan itself. All the conditions attached to the recommendations have been addressed. Therefore, our staff report is recommending approval of the plan contingent upon items A through G being addressed, and respectively, the reimbursement for plan review costs, as well as performance security for all improvements, providing the draft condominium agreements, and an executed operations and maintenance agreement for the stormwater management facilities, and then outside agency approvals, which are left, which would include approval of the erosion sediment control plan and the MPDS plan.
Thank you. Lauren, can you switch microphones with anyone?
Secretly, yes.
Okay. Right. Are there any questions or comments?
Brandon, quick question. The lighting in the parking lots, what is that?
So that was designed to minimum standard. I mean, everything that they were proposing includes full cutoff fixtures. The subdivision line development ordinance requires parking areas to be met or to be lit to minimum standards. Full cutoff helps to ensure that lights being directed only to the parking areas and not seeping out into roadways.
I was just going to ask if there were any indication that they were dark sky certified.
I don't know if that's something that the applicant can
answer.
I don't think we were dark sky certified off the top of our head, but we did meet township compliance.
Okay.
Sorry, feel free to come in.
That's right.
Yeah, we did meet township requirements, and we did follow the Cocoa Beanery light fixtures throughout. So you'll see a consistent look as you turn into the Cocoa Beanery through thing.
Okay. The reason I'm asking you, we all know light pollution is a pretty serious problem, and it's kind of wasted light. So try to get it to shine down. That's why I'm inquiring.
No, I felt we were pretty efficient. I don't remember the last off my head. The other thing we did light is the walking path between the H car building and the angle.
That was actually going to be my next question.
Yeah, that path is good for a night event or if you're leaving the venue.
And what kind of lights are they going to be?
Those are more bollards. I don't think we have any tall lights within that walking path.
So you're talking bollards somewhere on Chocolate Avenue there?
They're kind of. Yep.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I was kind of having a hard time hearing sometimes, Brandon. Could you maybe go over again, or maybe somebody from the project can talk a little bit about the parking and the traffic studies? I know you said that they were going to wait, and it was just a little hard to hear.
Okay, I apologize for that. The parking that's required on site, 171 spaces, 134 of those spaces will be provided on the condominium site. So we're talking about the parking area here to the west of the building. And then the remaining site, or the remaining parking area, will be in these shared lots with the H-car building. And as part of the proposal to have shared parking, they're constructing I think part of this is already there, but they're extending the pedestrian area across Research Boulevard to the barn facility.
And
part of the requirements for shared parking is that they have safe access.
And the timing of the traffic study, that was the other part I couldn't hear.
So back in 2016, when UGRO proposed their expansion, it was agreed that additional traffic study was not required because the threshold that was modeled in the original study was never reached with what construction we see right now on site. Building one, which was constructed, was never constructed to the full projections of the report, and then building two was never required, or never constructed, I'm sorry. So with the UGRO expansion, it was demonstrated that they would not, would not exceed the threshold that was modeled in the original study. So the applicant with this project is requesting similar consideration, and instead of a full study, they just monitor after development is completed. They take additional traffic counts to determine if there has to be any upgrade to the signal timing or the queuing of traffic at that signal for additional traffic flows. Their models that they submitted, it shows, the trips that they're generating could be at most 57 additional PM peak hour trips beyond the original traffic study with that budgeted during the PM peak hours. That excess can be mitigated with signal timing and queuing. And that they are, of course, traffic planning and design as part of the West End project is going to take a larger look at traffic impacts and improvement needs in that area.
That would be something that would be done on an ongoing basis, not just to look at the traffic impact of this project, but then more holistically as things get built out over time.
That's correct.
Okay. And I don't know if you know this yet or not, but on event nights, for example, would we have the ability, maybe this is more a question for Garth, to to adjust the signalization so that it can be adapted to increase traffic, or is it not anticipated to generate that much more on the roads?
Have you looked
to that at all as far as the report?
No, but again, it's only a 240-seat venue. I think the restaurant will be open and other things. I would anticipate like a night event having that greater peak to offset that signal, but certainly it could be discussed with the council. Certainly, I'm sure the client would be willing to discuss what events are at it.
And Susan, when you said events, are you talking about events at that site or at the other Hershey venues as well? Because I actually thought you meant events like at the Giant Center and...
No, I know we could do it there, but yeah. It's hard to know what exactly is going to be going on in there, so I was just trying to imagine if it was a larger event and had a lot more traffic, if it would be worth looking into something like that. Yeah. At the Englewood Farm.
So, Brandon, I understand you said that you think that timing adjustments take care of the increase in peak.
For what is being proposed with this project, yes.
Of course,
as future phases develop, that won't be the case.
Right. Okay. So, obviously, Ken's here and Hershey Trust, and we have every belief that the project's going to continue. But let's say it did. Let's say it's not Ken, it's not the Trust, it's another property owner. Nothing else happened. Is there any obligation then to make those traffic signal timing adjustments?
If the traffic warrants that, yes. I mean, if they determine that additional traffic is coming to the site, then yes, they would.
Okay.
And then, of course, something doesn't happen with West End, the timing plan, if there's any future development that's singled out again for a separate project like this, then we'll have to reassess that.
Okay, that seems to make a lot of sense. I'm curious, is there a crosswalk that's planned between the two pathways?
There is actually on the actual land development site plans. This is just a rendering provided by the applicant. There is a crosswalk there.
Got it. And the spaces that back up onto the main drive, I'm a little surprised to see them there. Is that because they're already there, or has any comment been made on that?
Those headed spaces on Cocoa Beaner do exist now, and as part of the Englewood Barn expansion, would propose to stay as they are. With the West End development, it will be remodified through the width of that. We'll research Boulevard Week on West End Avenue. That will be a parallel parking per township standard.
Got it.
Those heading spaces will go away at that time.
Got it. I would think that at some point it becomes, you can't have back out on the highway. So it's going to get to a point where you feel like it's...
And that modification will probably be done. This, in terms of the West End development, Englewood is part of phase one. Those headed spaces will go away in phase two. So
Are you talking about the spaces directly to the left of the Cocoa Beanery?
Yeah.
Okay, those are parallel to the road right there already, right?
No, they're like that.
They're right.
But that's not for where you can't really, correct me if I'm wrong, Brandon, but that's not something that you can really do on a road.
On a public road, we wouldn't permit that, but this is still private.
Sure.
As you say, because currently they're parallel with the road.
They're perpendicular
to the road.
Buildings here in the parking.
I don't think they're changing them. I think that they're...
I park there all the time.
Well, you're taking...
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm thinking about the ones on the other side of the walkway.
Right.
Yeah. Those are parallel, not those.
There is a couple parallel.
So he's the one.
I was wondering why people were looking at me that way.
He's the one taking up more space.
I was wondering why people were looking at me like that, but I was... parallel parking. Okay, it's these on the south side, if you will, of the walkway. Okay.
I knew it was you, Mark.
Never mind.
Just as a quick aside about those parking spots, unrelated to the project, but even now, I think during market time and when you have music in the evening and you have the barriers to kind of direct the traffic, it's getting a little hairy. When those spots are full and you're kind of driving the traffic through the barriers to get around, just maybe take a look at that. Even now, it's a little odd.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about?
This is very particular, like I said, particularly on market day.
Right.
And I don't know what the crosswalks will I think what will happen when this parking lot is here, some of that will go away, market traffic, the other shared parking that isn't factored in at all, the market parking will happen on the pond lot. It's going to be closer, that's where it's going to park.
Initially, obviously, all the traffic from the barn would come out this direction. Ultimately, as things get built out, do you envision it going both ways to help?
Yes.
Yep.
That was it, sorry. Thank
yeah,
you.
It will be a full movement intersection.
So how do you foresee the parking working? So if you're coming to an event, will you get some type of an advance warning if that lot to the right is all full and you need to park to the left?
I think if there's an event on a night, it will have to be some sort of signage to indicate people to park in the H-car building.
Right, because otherwise you're going to have people just circulate everywhere. It's going to be very confusing.
I would say the one thing that is provided on this plan is there is a drop-off for the share at that main entrance there.
Uh-huh.
So what may end up happening is people drop off, you know, their group of people, and then at that point will be indicated to sort of loop back to park their permanent parking in H-car lot so they can drop off their guests at the location.
And then, of course, the other thing, again, be careful, and I'm sure you guys have thought about this, but when you have an auxiliary parking like that that's pretty far away, people do everything they can not to park there, so they're going to want to park in grass, and they're going to, you know, so it's just something to be aware of. Great, thank you.
How many times the final plan for the trees? You have trees parked on the cattle, a couple islands there, so have trees.
There is a landscape plan. Again, this is just a color wash rendering, as my landscape architect told me. There is a plan for trees. We did, put them in the parking lot in the island as appropriate. And again, there are the trees in the floodplain area. We did try to maintain as many existing trees. There's some mature trees to the north, plant right, closer to 322 that we tried to maintain. I think you said there were some local ones. And then there's some ones near the existing or the proposed stormwater facility to the south of, or to the east of the barn. There's a couple of maple nice trees that you can kind of tell the basin grading will go around and preserve those trees. So we try to keep as much existing good vegetation as we could.
How many additional trees did you say you anticipate planting?
In the floodplain itself, it's 450. they're seedlings. So we'll take a while to establish. And working with the township, we came up with a number. Because if you plant 450, you don't want 450 to survive, because in 5 years they'll fight each other for growth and then all of that. So there's a plan. It's part of the plan. There's a ratio that needs to be maintained. I don't want to say it was 50% needs to be established to continue to grow. That way you get a good tree canopy, but you don't have the trees fighting for
decide our species yet.
Yes, there are 9 different species. Actually, flip to that quick color wash. There might be red at the bottom there. Don't ask me about trees. I think there's a red maple.
Green one.
The green one is there. I did have a landscape architect look at this. So don't worry, I didn't design it. But there's a variety of species, obviously, for survivability.
Good job.
I'll pass that along. Right. That was not me.
Any other questions or comments?
What's the schedule, proposed schedule, just out of curiosity?
There's one thing, though, they need for the building permit other than your favorable vote, and that's the Conservation District approval. And they may hire a lobbyist to help with that a little bit. But I think they intend to need. They have started yet in some of the work that you can do in an existing building. They've actually started. They corn blasted, which I never saw before. And if you go in and look in the lower level, and I cleaned out, around the outside. They're anxious and ready to go.
Yeah, it's great. It's a super exciting project. Yeah. So thanks.
And your completion, assuming you have how many months do you have?
You're 12 months.
About 12 months construction process. So,
good.
Hopefully, about this time next year, they'll be
ready to go. That's great.
How many years have you been working on this, Jeff? No.
Smart of you not to bring Rick here today.
If there are any more questions or comments, I'll move that the preliminary final land development plan for Inglewood Barn, Plat 1297, be approved subject to compliance with items A through G under the department head's recommendation section of this agenda item. Do I have a second? Mr. Engel seconds it. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, and that motion carries unanimously. I would like to say that before tonight's meeting, the Board of Supervisors did meet for executive session to discuss land issues. The next item on the agenda is B1-3, the release on maintenance security provided for the preliminary final subdivision plan for the enclave and dairy plot number 1158. That housekeeping measure.
Yes, and Mark, I'm sorry. Just with the previous agenda, I don't need a fair motion for the waivers, so I just want to ask that that also includes waiver for it.
Okay, I'll make the motion for the waivers as discussed here this evening as well to be incorporated into that earlier motion. And I have a second on that.
I'll second.
Mr. Zamuda seconds that. All those in favor of the waivers being included?
Aye.
Those opposed? And those waivers are included. Thank you very much for that reminder. So moving on to item B1-3, the maintenance security issue, is that pretty much a housekeeping?
Yes, that's correct. Right.
Okay. I'll make the motion.
Second.
Seconded by Ms. Court. All those in favor of the release of the maintenance security in amount of $17,614.80. Say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and that motion carries unanimously. Item C1 and 2 is approval of bid project for voluntary sidewalk and curb construction and construction and installation of handicap accessible ramps. Tom.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Every year, of course, we provide a voluntary curb and sidewalk reconstruction program for residents for sidewalks in front of people's homes. This year, we had 38 participants that have been included in this contract, and that equates to about 3,000 square feet of sidewalk, 88 feet of curb, and about 4 handicap ramps throughout the township. We had a mandatory bid, pre-bid, on July 16th in the Public Works Building. We had 3 contractors attend for the bid opening that coming that Thursday. We had 2 contractors give us bids. That was Rogel and Doug Lamb. This is funded through the general fund, and is of course a pass-through as all residents are invoiced for the work that's done. And we're recommending, there's a bid tabulation sheet attached to this. Doug Lamb was the low bidder. It probably is worth noting that the $25 a square foot sidewalk bid is the highest that we've ever had. The closest we came come to that was $17.50. About 2 or 3 years ago. So out of those 38 participants, I'm not sure how many we'll have that will do it, but we were at least able to offer it again, having rebid it from previously. So we're recommending that the project be awarded to Doug Lamb Construction, who is the lowest bidder, $25 a square foot. And he has done this many, many times before, so we have experience with it.
Do you have any idea if the price of concrete that's driven up the price of this, you know?
I think it's a combination of the price of concrete and the volume of work that these guys have.
Okay. Well, I'll make a motion that the township staff be authorized to award the sidewalk and curb replacement project to Doug Lamb Construction as the lowest bidder. I'll entertain a second.
Second.
Ms. Court, a second that. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and that motion also carries unanimously. Item D1, a request to conduct the Glow Run 5K race scheduled for Saturday, August 11th, 2018, again at 9:30 p.m. on Township Roadways. Chief?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Brian Simon contacted the Erie Township Police Department on Tuesday, July 17th. Advised they had scheduled the Glow Run for 5K for Saturday, August 11th at 9:30 p.m. Race is scheduled to start at the Cocoa Beanery, follow the sidewalks along the Research Boulevard, the crosses Bullfrog Valley Road, which is a township roadway, and then accesses the Jonathan Eschauer Memorial Trail. Assistance is being requested for the roadway crossing at Bullfrog Valley Road. Due to the nature of the event, traffic will have to be stopped periodically while the event is going on. Summit has received permission from the Parks and Rec Department to utilize the trail for this event, and they have been provided and agreed to the township's policy on reimbursement for our part in assisting the crossing there. We'll probably have one officer there to assist, and will be responsible for reimbursement of that officer's wages. The proceeds from the event go to the Farmers Market, the Concert Series in Hershey, and the AKT Foundation.
Thank you, Chief. The running of a race at night and crossing the roads kind of causes me some concern. You're satisfied that adequate safety precautions have been made and will be enforced to prevent some sort of, or reduce the likelihood of some sort of...
Yeah, I think what makes this a little bit easier is it's at a signalized intersection.
All right.
So that eases a little bit of the safety concern. It's well lit at that crossing, and we'll be able to provide some additional emergency lighting as well as reflectivity for the officer that's helping to control that.
Okay. And I know, speaking to the choir here, but I just, I trust you guys implicitly in terms of your ability to make sure that's well illuminated and that, any approaching traffic is warned well ahead of time. We may have some people crossing the road.
Correct.
Yeah. But if you're happy with it.
We've done that. This has happened in the township before, right? I've seen.
Yes.
Yeah,
the glow room.
Yeah. The first time.
Oh, yeah, the glow room had happened.
Yeah, I remember seeing brochures last year.
Yeah.
What's the background of it? What's it? Who does it? And what's the.
Second, I don't know. Mr. Pagliarello is one of the co-chairs for the event, so I don't know. Todd, do you want to kind of speak to the background of it?
Todd Pagliarello, 321 Concord Court. Brian Seaman was supposed to be here today. Unfortunately, he's stuck on the other side of Swinner Creek, having a problem getting over. I didn't know I was going to be necessarily speaking, but in answer to your question, Mr. Engel, it's benefits the Hershey Farmers Market. And I think we've done it for about 3 or 4 years. And to answer your question, Mr. Moyer, Chairman Moyer, that our marketing director is looking at lighting the area of the trail. They're meeting with a contractor to do that, which is a nonprofit group. So hopefully, and not hopefully, but all those questions will be addressed.
Yeah, I don't state any obvious, but
that sounds better than the run with the pit bulls to me that we had a couple of months ago.
That's the next one. Yeah.
So it's done by the market group.
Correct.
And is there a good turnout?
Yeah.
How many runners do it?
Yeah. I didn't attend last year, but in a previous year, I want to say good turnout, maybe 100, 150 people, and I'm guessing.
And do most of the runners use lights, or do they?
They have lights in there. It's like a Halloween thing, and they're dressed. And, it's not a... what I call a major marathon.
Yeah.
Something like
that. No, it's neat to see the trail used for something like that.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be neat
exactly.
to see the trail used for even more events like that. Yeah. So. Great. Thanks.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I'll make the motion to request to conduct a Glow Run 5K schedule for Saturday, August 11, 2018, starting at 21:30 hours or 9:30. On the township roadway, please.
So moved.
Moved by me, seconded by Mr. Engel. All those approved. In favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed. And that term of office carries unanimous. I'll start to my left with correspondence and boarding committee information. Mr. Zimuda.
No, I don't.
Matt?
I attend several very interesting meetings, bicycle pedestrian meetings. I was very encouraged by the enthusiasm of that group. The library seems to be doing a lot of really good stuff this summer. And last night I attended the TTMA meeting, and they're moving along with the planning for a second digester. And that seems to be progressing very well. Thank you.
I have nothing, Susan.
Nothing, Steve.
Nothing. Thank you very well. I'll start with reports, Chief.
The only thing is the board has been receiving situational reports from our deputy EMA director. The EMA director is in as well. We're just trying to keep an eye on things as the at the time of this meeting, I got a notification from PennDOT that they were going to close Route 39 at some point this evening, so that'll be another closure. So all the major routes on the north end are going to be closed by this evening. So we're just going to keep an eye on things. And I know they actually reduced the prediction for the crest for the Swinnerin Creek. So that's a little bit of good news there. That won't go quite as high as they wanted it to. So we're just going to keep an eye on things. And have not got any information of any structural emergencies with basements or anything like that as of yet. So that's another good piece of the information.
Thank you, Darren. Tom?
Just that we've, of course, completed our paving work and repair work in Oakmont, and we have moved out to EB Road. I know a couple of you have talked to a gentleman from out there as well as myself. We moved out there to do a little work in preparation for a bicycle event that's taking place down that road at the beginning of August. From there, we're going to be moving into Walnut Spring Hills to work on the split cartways up there. And those folks have all been advised via the e-news of approximately what our schedule is going to be in the beginning of August when we move into there. That's it.
Thanks, one other thing, at the DTMA meeting last night, there was a resident there talking about the Woolcroft Valley Road Project and making sure you guys were coordinating with the Stormwater Authority for the culverts under the road.
Yeah, they have a project going this fall, yeah.
Yeah.
They're getting ready to bid at any time. That's ahead of what we hope to do next year.
Yeah. And is there, this resident want to know if there's an ongoing system to coordinate with Mike Callahan for these projects in the future?
There's been one for years, yes.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Next Friday starts the Friends of the Library book sale, and so it'll run Friday through the following Wednesday. And we've got a lot of help from Parks and Rec and Public Works and the police, so we're looking forward to a good collaborative event.
It's
your first one. My second one, actually. Trial by fire last year. Great job.
Okay,
Cheryl.
I have nothing.
Okay.
Thank you.
Matt.
Just to comment on that D2MA project, the bids were open last week, and this week the D2MA awarded that contract. So there is a number of pipes that will be replaced along Bullfrog Valley, coordinated with Tom. So that'll all be done before Tom paves that road. DTMA actually went through and coordinated and moved things around to make sure that that happened in advance of that project. So there is a lot of coordination between the township and DTMA.
One other thing that came up, I realized when we did the stormwater project years ago, HRG agreed to inspect the riparian buffer at Governor Road going along Cocoa Ave. I imagine we're getting near the end of that five-year period.
We are there, yep.
We are there?
We
are?
Yep. We have to submit one more report, and then that would conclude the 5 years.
Okay. And is that report going to be containing recommendations? It's looking pretty overgrown right now.
Yeah. We are scheduled to meet with Public Works, with our wetland scientist, in the next few weeks. That meeting was already scheduled, but he had a sick child in the hospital, so we postponed that. But as soon as he gets back, we're going to have that meeting, discuss further recommendations, and submit that report.
Thank you.
Brandon?
I don't have anything tonight. Thank you.
Laura?
Just a couple of things. First, I'm happy to report that our downtown Hershey bike share station is officially online. The bikes are there. That was made possible through the Downtown Hershey Association with fantastic funding support from the Hershey Company. So we're very thankful for that, and we're looking forward to seeing the entire system expand downtown and hopefully throughout the township someday. A couple other notes. Music on Chocolate is scheduled for August 11th. We have two exciting bands lined up this month. It should be a great month for that. Our market continues through August. And one other note for you, I'm looking to schedule the local share presentations for the Dauphin County Local Share Municipal Grant Program for the second meeting in August, which would be August 28th. So you would be able to consider sponsorship of a co-applicant and rank the project at that meeting.
Very well. Any questions? Jim, anything?
Nothing, thanks.
Very well. Make a motion to approve accounts payable in the amount of $556,735.92 and payroll in the amount of $406,037.66. Second by Mr. Zamuda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and accounts payable and payroll are approved. Now it's time for a second visitor public comment section. For me, anybody wishing to approach? Here for the board, please take your name. Okay. Keep your comments in 3 minutes.
Very short. And I'll make it every meeting I'm going to bring this up so it's on everybody's minds. So last meeting I questioned, do we have an entertainment ordinance in the community? I went through the ordinance, I couldn't find any. I researched all the states around us, communities, and they seem to all have an entertainment tax. So with what we're building in the town, for example, this new venue, which will be an admission to come to it, I assume, do we collect the tax on that? Since it's not part of the Hershey estate deal, or Hershey company deal. So I'm thinking, if we want to do things, why don't we look at putting an entertainment tax ordinance together? And that captures not just any other business coming in, but then look at this contract or this agreement was made, the 50-year agreement, because that tax, that revenue, does things like increase our police force revenue to do more. We can't do it on 85 cents. On a $150 ticket. Most of the communities I researched are 5% of the price of the ticket admission. Why are we not thinking about doing this? In the state of Pennsylvania, we're allowed 10%. Just think of the amount of money we're losing. Back in the last time the increase went from 75 to 85 cents, Hershey Park increased their ticket by 13 cents. We got 10 cents, they got 3. Based on the million visits, that's 10,000 per million visits, and they projected that year they had 3 million visits. Not only did we only get, 10 cents of it, they got a third of what we got on top of their intake. So if they can do that, why can't we get an ordinance focused on, again, this means all businesses come in this town. Any type of revenue. For example, I asked a question. The escape room. Are we collecting an entertainment tax or none? Are we? Can anybody answer that? And if we're not, why not? I mean, more and more of these things are going to be popping up. So that's all revenue that this township can benefit from. Not only does that, but like I say, it helps us, the residents, decrease our tax base, what we have to pay. But then again, it helps everybody in this community. Services that you provide cuts down that cost and not put it on the taxpayer as a burden. So I'm going to bring it up every week until I hear something. So I'd like to see some positive input from this. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. So moved by Mr. Engel. I'll second it. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, and this meeting is adjourned.